Hello. All right.
You did it for me.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in. This is an I call it the X Failure Podcast. Basically, just for people who have failed, and more importantly, how they have got up. I just wanted to do this show, just because I feel like when we fail like we're the only ones who fail, and we feel alone. And I just want to remind everybody that we all fail. But more importantly, I want to show how we've gotten back up. So I just wanted to talk to different people about different situations that they've been through and how they bounced back. And so today, we got my friend King Antonio here.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, man? How are you?
Man, I'm good, man. God is good.
Dude, that's what's
no
good.
Doubt about that.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah, so me and King Antonio, we've known each other for a few years now. Just kind of running into each other through music and going to churches and doing different things. And so I'm glad to have you here today.
Man, it's good to be here.
Yeah, so let's just go straight into it.
All right.
Tell me about one of your biggest failures.
All right, one of my biggest failures. All right, we're going to, I guess, go to my suicide situation.
Yeah.
No, well, it's almost a year now that I think about it. On August 9th. Of last year, 2016, I tried to commit suicide. And I just got to a point in life where I just felt like I just didn't want to be here no more. I just felt like it wasn't nothing going right. I had lost my job. I didn't have a job. I couldn't provide for my household, couldn't provide for my children. I didn't have a car to get around to even make a move. End up losing the roof over my head. I was actually, don't nobody know, but I was living in my church. For about almost 2 months. I was just living in my church. That's where I would be every day, all day. You know, Sunday service happened, people come in, they didn't know that I just woke up and I was, you know, I just
got dressed. So where were you sleeping at in the church?
I would sleep on the pews.
Wow.
And then sometimes, you know, I would sleep in the pastor's office on the couch. He had a couch back there.
Yeah.
Most of the time I would sleep in the pews. It was just something about, you know, the sanctuary, the peace that it gave me while I was going through that situation. But at the same time, everything became overwhelming. I just feel like I didn't have no hope. And I just feel like, you know, if I wasn't here, then I wouldn't have to worry about nothing. There was just one less problem. I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, making no money to pay bills, move forward. I'd just be gone.
Yeah. What are some of the events that, I guess, brought you to that point of being homeless and not having a car to drive, not having a job?
Just situations, man. Like I said, I was working a job, and they ended up letting me go because they found somebody else that was more qualified or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I ended up getting let go, which in turn mean I couldn't pay my car note. So I ended up losing my car, couldn't pay, you know, bills. So there go that situation. It just got crazy, man.
So, like, dude, that's crazy. Like, if you commit suicide, that's probably the most ultimate feeling of, like, I'm a failure.
Yeah. I just feel like I wasn't no good to nobody around me.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, I'm failing. I don't have a car. I don't have a job.
Right.
I don't have a place to stay.
I'm
failing at everything.
Right. So I could barely feed myself. You know, it was like, I say about one or two people knew that I was living in the church. So, you know, they would, like, bring me little goodie bags, what they call it, little groceries, you know what I'm saying, with, like, little soap.
I wish I knew you were living at
like
the church.
That, you know what I'm saying? Food.
I would have come to help you out.
Yeah, but that's the situation I was in, man.
Yeah. That's crazy. So, what bring us into the moment where you actually tried?
You want to know that moment?
Yeah.
All right, well, it was a...
Just bring us into that moment.
I just got to a point, like, it was a revival happening at my church. Church I was sleeping in. That night, it was a revival happening. And I just kept thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, I'm around all these church people. I'm in God's house, and can't nobody see what I'm going through. The pain there's no help for me. You know what I'm saying? Not that I'm, you know, asking for a helping hand from anybody. It was like, it's just nothing there. So I took it upon myself that night. It's a Family Dollar about two or three blocks away from the church. So I went to the Family Dollar and I bought all these pills. about like 100 of them, like extra strength, like it was Advils, mm-hmm. and about 100 of them. And I went back to the church, and while the lady was preaching, I was sitting in the back pew popping out of these pills, and nobody knew.
Wow.
Yeah. And like I was just
popping them while service going on.
Like nobody knew. Nobody was paying attention.
That's crazy.
So I'm on the back pew, and I'm just like, I got me a, like a soda, you know what I'm saying, in these pills, and I'm just like just downing them.
Yeah.
Just while she's preaching, I'm just downing them. I'm just downing them until yeah. they all in my body.
And, 100 of them.
100 of them.
Dude, that's crazy.
And so I'm sitting back there, and I'm just listening to her. And this is crazy. Cause
go ahead.
Cause like I don't talk to my mom much. But and like my mama never come to church. Especially on a Tuesday or Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So she really never comes to church. And I know she didn't know anything about the revival that was going on that night. But some kind of way she showed up. She yeah. said she just had a feeling that something was wrong with me.
That's that parent.
Right.
And dude, in the middle of a revival, right. you're committing suicide.
Right.
That's crazy.
You're trying to. Yeah. Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah. And my mama walked in, and it caught me off guard. It just tripped me out.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she don't know where I'm at. I haven't talked to her.
Yeah.
But she walks through this door looking yeah. for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So she sits down next to me and she said, "What's wrong?" And I couldn't lie to her. I said, "I just popped 100 pills."
God.
And she just started crying. She was like, "You need to go to the hospital now." And I was like, "No, I don't want to go." And the lady, she had just got through preaching. She was like, "Does anybody need prayer?" And my mama was like, "Walk up here with me." So I walked up there. And the lady was like, "Well, what can I pray for you for?" And I whispered in her ear, I said, "I just popped 100 pills. I want to die right now." She was like, "Oh my God." She was like, "Out of prayer, warriors and saints, come over here and put your hands on his stomach."
Wow. That's crazy. I'm like, if I'm the lady who's praying for you, I'm like, "Yo, let's call 911.
Right.
We'll pray for him on the way."
Right, right. And like they praying for me. And when they got done praying, you know, I just went back to go sit back down. And like as I'm walking to the pew, I feel like something in my stomach, like jumping or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I had to throw up. So I went outside and I was trying to throw up, but I really couldn't. And service was over. So now everybody's outside. And I'm just out there just like kind of just bent over, not feeling too good. My mama trying to get me to go to the hospital. But this whole time I'm trying to like get away from her.
Mm-hmm.
And like my homies, they came out of the church, some of the, you know, the ministers, whatever that I know from the church, whatever, yeah. they came out and my mom told them what's going on. And they, you know, telling me I need to go to the hospital. They see me trying to walk off to get away from my mom, but they not letting me go nowhere. And I guess he Googled it, to see what the fix could happen from whatever I just took. And he was like, "Man, you need to go to the hospital like right now. Your liver is about to shut down in about 2 hours.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it took a minute or whatever, but I finally ended up agreeing getting a car with my mother.
What made you agree?
They wouldn't let me go nowhere.
The pressure? Okay.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me. Like, I literally tried to sneak out from them. Like, I literally, like, try to walk behind the church. I was going to jump over the fence and just go.
Mm.
Just go and just walk until I died. You know what I'm saying? But they wouldn't let me. Everywhere I turned and walked, it was right here. They wouldn't let me go nowhere. Yeah. So I was finally, like, I get in a truck with my mama. You know, she took me to the hospital. And, they had to hook me up to a bunch of stuff, you know, put some fluids in my body. I guess some stuff to counteract what I took. I did a lot of throwing up that night.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of throwing up throughout the night.
When you're in the hospital and you feeling the effects, are there any moments of regret? Like
I was just like, "Lord, why wouldn't you let me die?"
Wow.
Like, why wouldn't you let me? And then,
so even still, like even after you went through it, you're still like, I still want to go.
Yeah,
I'm
ready to go.
Wow.
And then the doctor came to me with information, and that's what kind of helped me see things in a whole nother light. As far as it was then that I knew the power of God was over my life. Like, for real, I knew that God had something he wanted to do with me. He wasn't going to let me take me out because he still had some stuff that I understand that his power really does lie within this vessel. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And the doctor came to me with information that was like, you know, when you taking pills like that, it was like any average person, like you can only take up to like 400 milligrams in a 24-hour period or whatever. And after that, like you can get liver failure, your liver can start shut down, different things like that, have real health problem, you could die. And I put over 2,400 milligrams in my body within like a 20-minute span. And you talking about 424-hour period, and I took over 2,400 in a 20-minute span, and I didn't have no liver damage. Wow. Nothing wrong with me. I, like, went home, like, literally, like, 2 days later. I was like, all right, Lord.
You're like, untouchable.
I mean,
you're invincible.
All right, God said, but it was like, okay, Lord, like, okay, you obviously have something for me. You won't even let me kill myself. And, like, scientifically, I'm supposed to be dead right now. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to just trust in you. I'm going to just trust. I'm going to just have even more faith than before. I'm going to just step out on a limb with just everything. Like, whatever. I know you won't let me die. So,
yeah,
you know, that was the turning point.
That's the one great thing to fail at, though, is trying to commit suicide.
Trying to commit suicide.
I failed having a job.
Right.
I failed at paying my bills.
Right.
I failed having a home, and I failed committing suicide.
Right.
That's a good one to fail at.
Yeah.
But the thing is, now you can't do nothing but win, though.
Right.
Because if you think about it, like, you can do anything now because what you've been through.
Right.
It's like, right. I almost died.
God is with you, but it's something about when you try to kill yourself and scientifically you had numbers in front of you that say you're supposed to be dead, but then you're not. And you understand, you're like, okay. You know how they say this, that near-death experience thing, you know, that kind of just triggers a person. Like, I guess that's what it was. Like, okay, God, I know you with me now. Like, for real. I mean, I knew it, but I really know now. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy to think that, you know, you could think you're a failure and that everything is not going right, but God's like,
yeah, he's like, nah.
I don't see you like that.
Right. Now I'm going to let you ask your question. I was about to skip all the way to now. But the crazy part is, you know, now I do have a roof over my head. I have a car. It's a nice car. I like my car.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I have a great job. I love my job. Like, it's the first job that I, you know, that I actually work that I like doing. Like, I never have long days at work. So it's like, if I would have died, I would have missed out on
all that. How long of a period was it where everything was just going horrible for you?
Like, before this, I say about a good year.
So you were going through that for like a whole year. Everything's just piling up on top.
Piling up.
Is it like, and I remember you posting on like your social media, like some of the things that you were going through at the time. And like, what was your thought process when you were like posting, like, I don't want to be here no more? Was that like a last cry for help?
Yeah.
Or like, what do you think?
I think it was more so, I was just
or like my goodbye letter.
It was just being real. It was just like, I knew wouldn't nobody take it serious. But I knew after I died, then they would. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. So, if you could encourage somebody who maybe is thinking about suicide or wanting to commit suicide, what are some things that you would say to them?
Your life has worth. It does. Whether you can see it or not, you got to dig down real deep and just know that you have purpose. One of the things that I understand now is with every moment that when I wake up in the morning, I know that I have purpose. Why? First of all, because when we were created, we were formed from dust, and then it says that God breathed his breath into us. So I understand that this is not even my breath.
Yeah.
This is not mine. This is God literally flowing in and out of my nostrils right now. Mm-hmm. So when I wake up and that breath, I take that breath, I know, okay, Lord, I still got purpose.
Yeah.
I must have, because you woke me up again. This is your breath I'm breathing. So you got to remember, in that time when you're going through, it's hard to see that.
Yeah.
you know, in those times. But you got to dig down deep. You know what I mean? I got out of, prayer is the only thing that even got me out of bed. Wow. You know, sometimes, even after that, you know, mm-hmm. prayer was the only thing, like, I would literally lay there still, like, you know, what am I going to do today? How am I going to do it? I don't want to get up. And I would literally have to pray and pray and pray until I could get up, till I can, you know, gather enough energy to just get up and know that God got it all worked out for real. Yeah. Like,
so what are some of the things that you think you couldn't see then, but you can see now, as far as just what was in front of you that you were missing?
I think what was in front of me, the only thing that I could say that what was in front of me that I was missing was to know that God really is there. He really is here. Like, I believe in God on a whole nother like level. Like, I know he's right here. I know he's ready to move, but it takes something on my part.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I was missing. You know, a lot of times I think we as children of God and Christians, we waiting on God to move, waiting on him to move, but we forget that he requires something from us too.
Yeah.
You know, we just can't sit and just wait on him. He's there. He's ready.
Mm-hmm.
But he needs something to work through. We got to open our mouth for something. We got to do something. And that's what was in front of me. Yeah.
He's with you.
Yeah. That he's
even
with,
if everything is going horrible.
Right, right.
I still got somebody on my team.
Right, but I still have to provoke him to move on my behalf. I still got to, regardless of what's going on, you know, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you for just being able to live. Thank you, Lord, that you're making a way, even though I can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I don't got a job, thank you for the job.
Like this, just the ability to say thank you.
Yeah, that's it. To say thank you.
To see the blessing.
Because that's really how my prayers were. And I'm like, oh, just thank you.
Like, thank you,
for
thank you,
so
thank
much.
You.
Just thank you, thank you.
Because I feel like if you commit suicide, like, you can't see how God has blessed you.
Right.
Or what's in front of you.
Right.
Like, you're not saying thank you. You're just like, my life sucks.
And at that time, I think what was in front of me that I couldn't see is like, yeah, I was living in a church. And I was like, man, I don't have a place to live, blah, blah. But what was right in front of me was I was in God's house.
Wow. Wow.
I was really in the perfect position to just draw closer.
Yeah.
To just really just indulge myself. Here I am. I'm in here. You know, lights off. I'm in the pews.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in God's house. If don't nobody else, if I didn't have a roof over my house, but God opened his doors, literally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally in here.
You know what I'm saying? And to think, like, you didn't have to have that.
Right. But God.
Yeah, you could have been just out on the street for real.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, dude, I thank you for your time, man. I thank you for coming through. Like, that's powerful, man. Like, you committing suicide, like, trying to commit suicide right in the middle of a revival.
Right.
And then ain't nothing wrong with your liver after that.
That's nothing wrong with my liver.
That's
supposed amazing. To be, scientifically, that's supposed, I'm supposed to have
2,400 milligrams.
Right.
20 minutes. Nothing wrong with your liver. Nothing no health complications. None. Crazy.
So I just want to encourage anybody that's listening, man, like, you can bounce back.
Yeah.
If King Antonio can bounce back from, like, wanting to commit suicide, you can definitely bounce back. And you can make it. I think we just need to continue to learn to say thank you. Even when things are going bad, thank you.
And then trust God that he know what he doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trust him, like, for real. We have to have a over-the-top trust for God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's one of the, we get comfortable with God sometimes.
Yeah, it's like the verse is like, everything is working together for good.
Right.
But sometimes it's hard to trust that.
Right.
Like, he's working it all out.
Because you got to really, like, know.
If you hold on, like you said, now.
He got some stuff for you.
Now, look, you got a car, you got a job you love.
And even more than that, though, I have this, even more than the material, because that part is there. He definitely provided that, you know, to take away that stress or whatever, you know, for whatever reason. But what I have more now than ever is a joy and a peace that nobody can take from me, that I refuse to feel anything else, because I know that I have access to that. That's the fruit of the Spirit. I can be joyful and peaceful in whatever situation, all day, every day.
It's kind of like, how are you not
what's
to?
Going
you
on.
You try to commit suicide, and he didn't let you.
Right.
And then there's nothing wrong with your body.
Right.
At every moment, you know, all right, God really loves me.
Like, I'm telling you, like, literally, my car could explode right now, and I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm, all right, Lord. You must got something better. I'm joyful. I refuse to feel sad, down, stressed, because that's where it takes you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't have to feel that.
Yeah.
Especially mm-hmm. if I'm gonna have this over the top trust for God, and I do know that everything is working out for my good. You know, even I did, like I tell a lot of people a lot of times, like I did all of that stressing and all of that and try to commit suicide for however long amount of time it was, and then here I am in a whole different place in life, and God worked it out anyway. So really that was pointless to stress.
Yeah.
Like, I stressed for no reason.
Yeah.
I almost killed myself, but tried to kill myself for no reason when God got it worked out anyway.
Yeah, he already had it planned out.
Right.
All you gotta do is just hold on
for right.
Dude, I appreciate your time, man. And if anybody listening is struggling with suicide, you're thinking about it, give them like your social media information. They can find you.
Okay. Well, you can find me on Facebook under King Antonio, K-I-N-G, King Antonio, A-N-T-O-N-I-O. And I'm on Instagram. I just started back using Instagram. I really didn't like Instagram. I think you the one talking about I need to start using Instagram a while back. So under Instagram, it's the number one, King Antonio, all one word.
All right, guys. Yeah, and he has music that he makes, too. So yeah.
You can catch him on SoundCloud.com/KingAntonio. I got some stuff on YouTube. You just type in King Antonio on YouTube.
So be on the lookout for King Antonio because he's coming. He has been resurrected.
Right.
And he's coming back stronger than ever.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for listening. I guess we'll see you next time. Peace out.
There it is.
Ha 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 ha.